I'm now joined in the studio with the talented artist, George Raftopoulos. George, good morning.
Good morning.
So give us a little bit of a background, like, you know, who is George?
Well, that is a loaded question, especially at this hour of the morning. Well, look, George is a very interesting character. How about I talk about him in the third person? What do you think?
Yeah, why not?
He's an interesting character. One of dichotomies, for example, you know, I grew up out in rural New South Wales where there weren't a lot of, you know, Greeks out there. Yeah. And, you know, I was the only wog in the village. And so, you know, that's the first dichotomy. I'm a country kid who sort of only ever knew Australiana, you know, and then to be sort of labelled with the surname that I do have and the way that I look, you know, people just make assumptions. So I think this is the driving forces to why I create pictures.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So going from that small country town that you've just mentioned, Grenfell, to an international artist, how was that transition?
To tell you the truth, Tony, I never think about it.
Okay,
I'm a person that just rolls with the punches, and I've sort of done that throughout my whole life. You know, when you are growing up in a as a kid in a country environment, you're the odd one out. So you learn, one learns to poke fun at things at oneself, and that's what carries us through, is having a sense of humour and never getting, you know, too ahead of ourselves either, because there's always a crafty bugger in the back, you know, waiting to clip you in the ear and keep you real. So that's one thing that I learned about, you know, living out in the country. So the whole notion of, you know, humble beginnings and then becoming, you know, an international artist, I don't even dwell on it. It's just part of the evolution of life, you know. And I'm extremely fortunate. The people of Australia have been very kind in understanding my craziness. And I've managed to forge a career for 25 years. So it's just been amazing.
How long between each work? Because your works are absolutely wonderful. Just
Thank you. Imagine if you said they were rubbish.
we'd have trouble, wouldn't we? How long between each of these works do you have as time off? Or do you just quickly jump into the next one?
It's kind of a hard question to really answer. However, you know, I equate myself to being an athlete. And an athlete, in order to be the top of their game, they train every day. And my, in a sense, you know, laterally, my training is to do things every day. Half of the job here is turning up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That is what people don't understand. They said, oh, I'm going through phases where I can't. You know what? Put all that stuff aside.
And keep going.
That's total bullshit to me. One must just get up and just keep moving. And that's what sparks something into something else and then somewhere else. And, you know, it's not about the end point, the destination. It's about, you know, traversing those sort of landscape and letting things sort of filter in as you're going along. And I think that's where a lot of misconception is, where people sit there and have a great idea. Sure, ideas are the fundamentals. However, the true you know, nucleus of creating good work is turning up and just getting your hands dirty and just giving it a crack, you know. And then as time progresses, you focus more and more and more, and there is that beautiful kind of moment where things make sense, you know. And I equate that to our good mate Jack Kerouac, who wrote about that a lot. You know, this notion of Satori, which is a Japanese word for enlightenment, and it's fleeting. It lasts for a moment. But, man, when it happens, it's magic, you know?
So although your art is quite intuitive, do you have any ideas about the future, you know, what you want to see in the future? Or
you mean in terms of my practice?
In terms of your practice,
Yes, I mean, you know, slowly but surely, as time has progressed, I found that I'm a bit of a cheeky bastard. And that's putting it nicely.
I've been called worse. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I kind of, you know, I look at, you know, social inequality a lot. Paralleling, you know, to my own experiences. Not that I had it bad, but look, you know, times out in the country were interesting. So I kind of look at, you know, social norms, what we are, in a sense, given as gospel, and we should believe in those and carry on across the board, you know, in terms of who we are as people, as, you know, belief systems, inherited belief systems, i.e. Greek Greek Orthodox, you know, all these types of scenarios. So I find myself questioning them a lot more and jumping outside of those boxes and almost sticking my fingers up at them because I find them freaking ludicrous, to be honest. Our own credo, our own moral creed is what we, over time, you know, believe in. And there's nobody else that can tell you what to believe in. It's for ourselves to kind of venture in our lives and, you know, work it out, you know. So I'm becoming more and more sinister as I get older.
Yeah. Well, that's a way to be. I mean, you have to question everything in life. Life just, absolutely. You know, definitely.
And, you know, God forbid if I should just meander through and just accept something as gospel. You know, I'd prefer to just, you know, that's like keeling over and dying and...
It doesn't make life interesting anyway.
No, I'm not going to do that. That's not for me.
Definitely. Well, that was wonderful. Thank you for coming on.
You're welcome.
Be sure to follow George on his Instagram at G_Raftopoulos, RAFTOPOULOS.